G'day, Reece Dowden here, and welcome to episode 27 of the Selection Bullet Points podcast. And if you haven't already, make sure you check out operatoredge.com/selection, and you'll find a number of different resources there to help you get ready for selection if you're going to go down that path. And let's get into today's episode. It's called How to Improve Your Navigation Skills. And I got this question from one of the dudes in my Indefatigable program on my last Q&A for guys and girls in that program. So I thought you guys might benefit from it too. So let's look at ways to get your navigation skills up to speed in preparation for selection. All right. So first thing in regards to navigation is the theory is quite straightforward, all right? So it shouldn't take you long to understand it. You know, it's pretty easy to, comprehend it all. But practically, it's a little bit tougher, all right? And it's much tougher to actually master the skill. But it's really all about getting out and into the bush and actually practicing it. So once you know the theory, you get out and practice it. Right, and you really want to understand the theory first, obviously, and then get out bush and do it until you become proficient at it. You will first learn navigation at Kapuka, right? If you haven't done a civilian course or anything like that, and you join the military or you join the army anyway, you'll touch on it at Kapuka, and then when you're at your IETs, depending on your IETs, you should go more in depth. Into it. So especially if you're doing infantry, I did it in CAV IETs and, you know, probably at least your arms corps. Not sure so much outside of the arms corps, but I guess most people listening to this are probably going to go through infantry or at least an arms corps, being infantry, armored combat engineers or artillery. So you should definitely touch on it at IETs. After that, hopefully you'll go through it or you'll go over it, navigation that is, at your unit, but not always. And you might not do it to a really in-depth level. You might not do it often enough to become proficient at it. So it'll be up to you. The onus is on you, like anything in regards to selection, to make sure you get out and do it. You'll go through it on your subject courses, okay, your promotional courses for corporal, your junior leaders courses. So you'll want to know it for those course, for those promotional courses as well. But really, we're looking at selection, okay? If you plan on attempting selection, you got to get out and do it. You got to get out and practice it. I'm not going to say master it, but you need to be highly proficient at it for selection. Why? Because it'll be tested, right? You do, depending on if you do commandos or SAS, minimum you'll be out there for, 3 to 4 days doing navigation out in the bush by yourself, up to sort of 10, 11 days if you're going to do SAS selection, all right? So you've got to be proficient. If you're out there, if you don't get enough checkpoints and or kilometers relative to all the other candidates, all right, you'll be removed from the course, okay? So after that 3 to 4 day navigation exercise, if you come back, and you haven't got as many checkpoints and as many kilometers as the other candidates on average, you'll get removed, okay? And you'll fail that activity, you'll get removed. Having a bad day on your nav activity, it can result in you wasting many hours and many kilometers, okay, walking along, not getting the required kilometers, not getting the required checkpoints, okay? You'll not get credit for the kilometers you've walked if you don't complete the checkpoint. If you don't get to the checkpoint, if you don't call it in, doesn't matter how many kilometers you've walked, if you don't call that checkpoint in, you won't get credit for it, okay? And I remember when I was instructing on selection, I had to go, I was on one of the stands as an instructor, one of the navigation stands, and I would have to go out and find the toots who got lost. I remember going out and finding this one guy, he'd probably walked 8 or 9 kilometers, and he was only about 30 meters from a checkpoint marker, okay? It was on the other side of a tree. He couldn't see it, and he'd wasted hours and hours, okay? And that guy, I remember, ended up failing, okay? Because he'd wasted so many hours and so many kilometers, even though he'd walked a lot of kilometers, he just wasted so many hours, and he couldn't make it up, okay? So you need to be good at nav, you need to be proficient at nav, before you do selection, okay? There's no excuse. Absolutely no fucking excuse turning up to selection not knowing how to nav. I mean, it's so fucking unprofessional. And if you do that, you shouldn't get through anyway. That's my personal opinion, right? Being highly proficient in nav also, okay, that will mean that you can save time by picking the fastest route, okay, when you're out there doing your nav, i.e. not always going as the crow flies, like in a straight line, okay? You'll be able to box around specific areas, i.e. maybe you've got a big yarm or a big mountain to go up to, and, you know, your nav leg is taking you right up and over that mountain. If you're very good at nav, if you're confident in your abilities and you understand it, you'll be able to box around it. So boxing around it, you'll be able to plot it on your map and then plot the mag bearing and then walk around it. You might walk more kilometers, but you'll save a lot of time, okay? So you'll be able to do that when you're proficient. People who aren't good, who aren't confident in nav, will walk that straight line, walk up that big mountain, down into a big gully and up the other side, and you just waste a lot of hours, okay? So sometimes it's much more efficient, much quicker to box around a particular area, okay? So once you're good at nav, once you're proficient, you'll be able to do that, no problem. So again, once you learn the theory of nav, you've got to get out and practice it. When you do, when you start to head out and outfield and start to practice nav, you want to consider the following. First one being safety. Right, take the required equipment when you go out for your nav. So, map, obviously, your compass and your protractor and, you know, your pencils and backup pencils and erasers, all that kind of stuff that you'll need to plot your bearings. Take a phone, make sure it's fully charged. Take a GPS as well, and things like water and some food and small medical kit. Okay, so You got to be safe when you go out there, and make sure all your equipment is serviceable, okay? Don't go out with a cracked protractor, for example, okay? Or a cracked compass, obviously. Make sure your equipment is good to go, all right? So take the time there. Be professional about it. Tell others where you're going as well. Tell others exactly where you're going to do your nav activity, how long you're going to go for. And you can also turn on your location sharing on your phone with someone responsible, okay? So be smart about it and be safety conscious, okay? So once you're out there, you're going to do the nav, okay? Always, always do a full nav data sheet, okay? If you don't know what that is, you could look it up. Once you start, especially once you start going through the army, if you're in the army, you know what a nav data sheet is. Once you learn how to do that, it's basically a sheet where you plot your bearings, where you are, where you're going to, all right, and the expected paces and kilometers that or the distance that you're walking, and then you've got things like goings and remarks, so what you're going to come up against, what you're going to come across, or what you should come across if you're on the right line, okay? The nav data sheet is crucial. And don't skimp on it, okay? Always fill out your nav data sheet. Fill out the grid bearing. Fill out the mag bearing. Fill out the goings and remarks, okay? Always follow your bearing and count your paces. And ensure you know what your paces are for different terrain, okay? I think mine, from memory, was about 130-odd paces for 100 meters, right? So you want to get out and work out what your paces are for 100 meters, okay? This is where people fuck it in nav. They get too confident, right? Then they dispense with the nav data sheet and or try to, you know, map to ground it only without following a proper bearing or counting paces. Don't make that mistake. No matter how good or how confident you are with your nav, always complete your nav data sheet, follow your bearings and count your paces, okay? I can't reiterate that enough. And I was pretty confident in nav. I did Army Cadets, so you do a lot of nav in Army Cadets, so set me up well for joining, and I would still always do a nav data sheet. Why? Because I tried to skimp on it in the past, and it bit me in the ass. Totally fucked the nav, got lost, learned from it, okay? So always, always, always do a proper nav data sheet, okay? Follow your bearing, count your paces. When you're out there doing the nav, especially when you're starting off, start off easy, okay, with an out and back format, okay? So if you're going out to an area, just plot, obviously work out where you are, and just plot a bearing to maybe a 500 meter leg, and then you could increase it slowly up to about a K or so, depending on how good you get, how confident you get, but do it slowly, and just go out and back to your known location, and start off very easily, okay? Once you're good to go with that, you can then move on to multi-leg format. So nav out to, say, a checkpoint, checkpoint one, and then from there, continue on to checkpoint two, and then turn around, nav back to check your original checkpoint one, and then back to your start point, okay? So just build it up like that, build it up slowly. From there, once you get more confident, more proficient, you could just add more legs in an out and back type format, or you could start doing a fan pattern, okay? So you look at your map and you plot your different checkpoints in a fan type format, all right? So you would start at known point, nav out to checkpoint one, and then in a fan type format, nav across to checkpoint two, nav across to checkpoint three. You could add three checkpoints, four, five, whatever. And then on your last checkpoint, that would be the return leg back to your start point. And if you look on the map, it would be a fan type pattern, okay? So that's one way to do it. And you could increase the distance. You could increase the checkpoints to make it a little bit more difficult, the more proficient you get at it. Now, what will really make a difference, and when you really start to understand nav, or at least this is how I did it, and of course this is just a personal opinion, but what I did was this. During any particular leg, maybe a third or halfway along, just at some point, you want to stop and try to work out exactly where you are to an eight-figure grid reference, taking into account the bearing that you've just walked on, the distance you've covered as per your paces, and any information that you've put down on your nav data sheet. So goings and remarks, have you crossed any creek lines, re-entry spur lines, anything like that, okay? Once you've plotted your eight-figure grid, then you want to get out your GPS and confirm exactly where you are. If you're wrong in your assessment, okay, work out why. Look at the map, study the ground, and work out where the contours are and what they're doing, okay, on the ground. This is how you get really good at navigation. When you can see clearly what the contours on the map are doing and how that translates or superimposes onto the actual ground around you, that's when you begin to fully understand navigation. Actually reading the map accurately and seeing what that actually looks like on the ground. So do that. Okay, on any particular leg, multiple legs, stop, try to work out exactly where you are, all right? Plot your eight-figure grid and then get out your GPS and confirm it and practice it over and over again at random spots on each leg of your navigation, and you'll from there, once you get good at that, your nav will be spot on for selection, okay? You'll be confidently able to and efficiently able to navigate, including boxing around certain terrain that would otherwise take you much longer, all right? You won't get lost. You won't waste hours and hours of time and kilometers of humping, becoming geographically embarrassed, all right? Getting stressed out of your brain because you're on selection and risk getting the boot from the course. As per any skill before selection, practice it and get to a level where you'll feel confident in executing under pressure throughout the selection process. Because if you don't, right, you will get found out. If you go into selection underprepared in any area, you will get found out. And it just looks unfucking professional, right? If you're rocking up to a special forces, a special operations selection course, be ready, okay? Be prepared, okay? And it just so happens that I have a land navigation guide within my Indefatigable program. So if you're interested getting involved, make sure you reach out. You can just email me, reese@operatoredge.com. You can send me a Facebook message or an Instagram message, reese_Dowden is my name, but it's very easy to, or the best way is probably just to send me an email. Okay, so that's it for this episode of the podcast, all about improving your navigation skills for selection. Once again, make sure you get out and practice it once you understand the theory. Start off slow, be safety conscious, all right, and really hone your nav skills for selection. All right, if you've got any questions, make sure you hit me up. Again, reese@operatoredge.com, and I'll try and get back to you as soon as I can. Hope you got a lot out of this episode, and I will see you in the next one. Thanks.